Universal Gravitation, an Elementary Verse Fic, by Flya Kate, read by Rhea 314. John remembers learning how touchy and hands-on his students actually are. They hand him things, offer up unlatchable braces and watches for his help, while he forever marvels at how skinny they are at this age, how faithfully they look up to him to fix, repair, mend. They all try to teach him their recess clapping games, complex rhythms of like hands, a never-changing chance. Miss Mary Mac, 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 all dressed in black, black, black. That he forever fumbles, which collapses them into laughter. If he's leading the kids to lunch, or the library, or anywhere, whoever's in front will frequently just latch onto his hand, like drawn there by some bizarre form of gravity, clinging to fingers with unthinking strength that he's grown to appreciate, especially as if he's having the kind of day where he thinks that he's the worst teacher in the world. Like when he made Jesse cry, mostly due to a post-sugary breakfast crash, but still. Or when no one had understood the math lesson and he'd sort of yelled, kind of a lot, oops. Or when he'd had to send Harry to the office, again. In class, there's taps and pokes when he walks the rows of desks. The hesitant but unrelenting brushes on his hands, pant leg, shoulder, if he's been guilted into crouching down to their height. Because they always forget that they should just raise their hand and just wait for a second. Granted, after several instances of Mr. Shepherd all but shouted in his ear, the poking isn't so bad. After a year or two at Atlanta's Academy, these random touches rampage out of control whenever he runs into old inhabitants of Room 12. Suddenly he's swarmed three deep with hugs around the waist, usually for the third graders. Fourth graders simply giggle and shriek, either gender, or high fives, boys of any age, hanging on his hands, elbows, and waist until he leaves. Part of him feels guilty for causing so much chaos, especially the day he makes the mistake of cutting through the auditorium during the fourth grader's whole grade play practice. His ears still ring. But makes him smile after at that memory of all the laughing faces caught in a transition from the familiar child to the strange adult. He and Rodney are out getting coffee on one Saturday morning, a 5-minute trip that turned into a lengthy wander through the grocery store, where John has to explain 4 times that no, they don't need that. They already have 1, 2, or 3 of this already, and yes, Franklin has plenty of food, toys, treats, and no, just no. So he's a little irritated and cranky, and hungry, but that's what happens when you go to the grocery store after breakfast of only coffee, and contemplating several nasty things he could say to Rodney, who's still standing tensely alone by the entrance when he hears, "Mr. Shepherd!" And his left side is attacked from the chest down by a green winter coat and an orange snow hat. After a moment, John recognizes that it's Heather, now an extremely mature and grown-up fourth grader, with her mother and father and baby brother. She gleefully chatters at him about the fact that they're learning about bugs in Spanish, and Miss Cadman knows all these cool books, just like you do, and they're so funny, and she likes dogs, and we got a dog, a puppy, and is your new class as cool as we were? And her brother's getting new teeth, right in front, and did you know that your tooth will dissolve in soda like it was never there? And grins wider and giggles at the enthusiastically disgusted face John makes for her. Heather is now clutching John's coffee-free hand in her own warm, mittened hand, and is using it to gesture towards her family. John makes some appropriate hi-how-are-you noises to the equally coffee-laden grown-ups and a funny face for the brother still in the stroller. But most of his attention is following Heather's rapid account of the new game that Coach Ronan taught them. I got a big bruise, but I didn't cry, and then Coach sent Jimmy to the office for throwing the ball at me, and promising that, yes, he still had Tolstoy the turtle, and yes, she could come by and visit him, and the little kid someday. Heather finally winds down, still grinning, and with a gleeful goodbye launches herself down the sidewalk after her family. John turns to see that Rodney hasn't moved and is alone, still all tense shoulders and pinched look to his face as he sips his coffee, staring down at his shoes. The look tightens even more when John gets close enough for Rodney to notice. John feels his hands start to sweat a little bit around the coffee cup, and wonders why he'd been so furious at the idea of a block of cheese. "Sorry, I get a little overstimulated in the face of all that food," Rodney bursts out. "We really don't need the more cat food, but I know that Franklin gets pissy when he's hungry, and it's on sale." The easy thing, John knows, would be to agree by way of apology and go in and let Rodney buy more cat food. The easy thing would be to make fun of Rodney's tendency to think with his stomach. The easiest thing would be to say some of those nasty things he'd been thinking before. Instead, John smiles and reaches out to grab Rodney's free hand, feeling the chilled fingers warm against his palm. Grocery stores make me crazy, too. I recommend home, food, couch. Ronnie's hand tightens in John's as his face loosens and he moves closer, letting their shoulders bump. Home, food, couch, bad movies? Ronnie counters with a quirked eyebrow. John knows that really means kissing in a warm tangle on the couch, trying to mesmerize the touch of Rodney's mouth, the weight of his hip beneath his, their fingers tracing his spine and muscle and skin. Sounds good to me, he says, and lets the momentum of their joined hands pull him back toward the front door. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback for the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this story's post. Thanks for listening.